You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Can Rocky beat Rambo? Linear and hierarchical thinking in the martial arts. As I've said many times before in this podcast series, humans are social animals, meaning that we adapted to the challenges of survival by living in groups. This genetic history tends to make us very concerned, sometimes to the level of obsession, with knowing where each individual belongs in the hierarchy or ranking structure of the group. We spend a lot of skull sweat and hot air fretting and arguing about this very subject. This frequently leads to what I call, "Can Rocky beat Rambo?" questions and debates. Questions like, "Who is the best fighter in the academy?" Or, "What is the best martial arts style?" Or, "Who is the best instructor?" Or, "Can Thor beat the Hulk?" The last one is easy. My money's on Thor all the way. Linear arrangement or ranking is only useful when the parameters are few and easily quantifiable. For example, the place of any particular chemical element on the periodic table is determined by the number of protons in its nucleus and the arrangement of electrons in their various orbits or shells. The place of each color of the spectrum is determined by its wavelength. The place of each note of the musical scale is determined by its pitch. These are clearly defined, mathematically determined facts. Well, that is unless you're a postmodernist and think that the only reason that we believe that 5 is bigger than 4 is because conventional society accepts this to be true. But that's a discussion for another day. That aside, where complex systems like human beings or martial arts styles are concerned, it becomes much more difficult, often meaningless, and frequently a waste of time to attempt to rank them precisely. As I said, a human is a complex system. He or she is a composite structure combining subsystems like the musculoskeletal, circulatory, endocrine, and immunological systems, a number of senses, and most important of all, a neurological system whose crown jewel is the amazing and frequently frustrating brain after which this podcast is named. The performance level of an athlete can be profoundly affected by unusual deficits or bonuses in one or more of these systems. This fact alone makes it difficult to find each athlete's place in a linear hierarchy, if such a place even exists in any way that is meaningful. Now, add in the element that is much of the reason for the very existence of this podcast, and that is very unpredictable, the role of the quirky human brain. Incredibly gifted athletes are still subject to the oddities of human behavior. How many times, as a sports fan, have you been prompted to utter or even scream something like, "What were you thinking?" when an athlete for whom you were rooting pulled a particularly boneheaded move? Leaving aside discussion of the 2020 hindsight of the armchair quarterback, it should be obvious that outcomes of athletic events often hang in a delicate balance, a balance which can be shifted by the smallest of miscues, bad choices, or even random factors. There's a concept called the Any Given Sunday rule, which states that on any given Sunday, any NFL team can defeat any other NFL team, despite their current rankings. This is because even the worst athletes at the level of the NFL, NBA, NHL, and MLB are still incredible athletes. The difference between them and the best athletes is probably far smaller than you realize. This touches on a related phenomenon and a real pet peeve of mine. Most people are utterly ignorant of the levels of human potential and of just how amazing elite-level athletes from a gene pool of over 7 billion people, truly are. I once had a student who was a gifted high school basketball player. He was a great athlete. He told me of a camp that he once attended that was given by an active NBA basketball player. This particular player did not start on his team. As a matter of fact, he was the 11th man of the 12 on this team. My student was flabbergasted by the amazing abilities this man displayed as he taught at the camp. He asked the player why he wasn't a starter on his team. The pro player smiled ruefully at my callow young student and said, "Because there are 10 guys on the team that are better than me." As if that's not enough, even with those 10 other guys better than him, his team had failed to make the playoffs after the previous season. That means that there were more than a dozen teams of 12 men each that hierarchical thinkers might call better than his team. As I said earlier, the worst player in the NBA still plays in the NBA. Another example of this is the moron who, upon hearing the size of the purse for a professional boxing match, says something profoundly stupid like, "Hell, I'd fight Mike Tyson for $1 million. Such pronouncements are usually uttered between belches while drinking. First of all, good luck getting a promoter to fork out cab fare, much less $1 million to pay your amateur untrained ass to fight anyone. Second, the average barfly would be fortunate not to be killed by a power punch from any top 10 heavyweight. And third, if he weren't killed, most of the $1 million would be used up for medical bills. Boxing also provides us with another example of the any given Sunday phenomenon. In the early 1970s, a long-awaited bout was presented pitting Muhammad Ali against Joe Frazier. Frazier won a hard-fought decision. Not long after that, George Foreman assassinated Joe Frazier in an early-round knockout. Not long after that, Muhammad Ali knocked out George Foreman in Zaire in the 8th round of the fight dubbed the Rumble in the Jungle. Based on this record, who is the best? The truth is that if you understand statistics, a single bout between two elite fighters is far too small a sample size to yield a significant result. While it would never happen in the real world, having the same two fighters fight each other dozens, or even better, hundreds of times, would result in far more significant evidence for answering the question, which fighter is better? As I said earlier, as social animals, humans are deeply concerned with where they each fit in hierarchies, real or imagined. Thinking like this has led many a human male to be asked that ancient question, "So, you think you can kick my ass?" This question comes from such a primitive part of the brain that an answer couched in logic probably couldn't be processed there, and thus would have no meaning to the person asking it. So, of course, on a few occasions when faced with this question, I couldn't resist going all pedantic on the moronic questioner with a response like, "To give you a meaningful answer to that question requires a bit of context and nuance. I've trained most of my life to better deal with defending myself. While experience tells me that I possess the skills necessary to defeat any one individual from a very large fraction of the total population, it's unlikely but possible that you are a statistical outlier." "Oh, wait, you probably wanted me to say no." Neanderthal baiting aside, if you think of a large population of athletes and then select any single one, it is possible to make a meaningful statement like, "He is average for the population," or "She is in the top 5%. The problem arises when you try to compare two individuals who are not far apart in level of ability. Almost anything you say when comparing them would have little use or meaning. Complex systems like humans don't lend themselves to linear comparison. But try explaining that to the good old boys down at the local bar when they argue about sports. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. contact me with questions about the Marshall Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.